Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to welcome you to another episode of Podnuts Pro. But this time I'm going to do it in a little different fashion, because if you notice how quiet it is, this is not the Eminem Show. It is not even the Eminem Show. Tonight we welcome Brad Torrey from TTCS Computer Services. Brad is the one, if you remember, that sends us all the email, talks about Star Wars, blah, 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 blah. I promise the show won't be all about Star Wars, but figured that was an ode to the spoiler alert that we went through so many times ago. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, yes, we are without Matt and without Martin, and just a little bit of work. Matt got really busy. Obando is still on sabbatical, and we just lost Brad. So the joy and perils of live podcasting.
I can hear you.
And I can hear you.
Okay.
I just can't see you. I see this little, what is that, a double X?
My logo.
Your logo. All right, we'll just keep right on going. So, Brad, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm a little sick, but the weather here has been really great, and things have been going along pretty well. So, all in all, I can't really complain. Just been busy fighting off one disaster after another for clients.
That is what we do, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you can't really. I can't be surprised.
No. So I do want to thank you for agreeing to come on and be our stand-in host, which we've talked about doing for a while. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, just, you know, one less email I have to send this week.
That's right. You can ask all your questions in person, and I will do the best that I can to answer them. And sorry, I don't have that Matt Rainey style of delivering stories. Maybe you'll fill in and take that burden off of me.
Well, I've got a few stories that I can share, but I don't think anyone can really match the Matt Rainey style, but I'll try to at least make it entertaining.
That is true. So let me get started with a couple of housekeeping things and get those out the way. First thing I want to do is mention to everybody that we are highly in the swing of promoting the 2017 Unconvention this year in Washington, D.C. That will be September 16th and 17th, Saturday and Sunday. I will be getting in early with the family. We're going to take in some sights, but I encourage everybody to hurry up and buy your tickets. We've got a count, and the tickets are moving. So this is looking good. Again, it's the DC Unconvention 2017. This year, it is presented, along with Instant House Call, by Malwarebytes TechBench. And this is a new comprehensive repair shop program built for technicians by technicians. And if you guys remember, for those of you that went last year, Malwarebytes was a great hit at the Unconvention, and I'm sure they will be again, along with some of the other vendors and sponsors we're going to be promoting over the next few weeks. And I think we're gonna have a nice crowd of somewhere between, I don't know, let's just say less than 100 people, because 100 tickets is all we're selling. It's that exclusive. So, okay, that's out the way. So, Brad, let's... I've got a stack of email to get to later, but let's go right to you. Tell me what's been happening. I know I haven't seen you on the live show lately, and you probably got some stuff all raring to go.
Yeah. So the definitely the most important thing is that on Easter Sunday I was hanging out with my family, and I solved a Rubik's Cube while I was sitting there. So
in record time.
In record 4 hours. then I solved it again in 20 minutes, but that was exciting, because that's like a childhood dream finally realized 30-some-odd years later. So,
and you did not, like, unpeel any stickers or anything like that?
No, the new ones don't have stickers on them. That's how I solved it when I was a kid, but no, the new ones, I guess I've seen you can actually physically pop off the blocks, but no, I actually physically turned it enough times and in the right directions in order to get it to be solved. So that was just kind of neat.
Ah.
I did, I mean, I used some of the guides on like which moves to do to get certain pieces to move where you want them, but
right.
there's an app that I found after the fact that is absolutely cheating. And it's you actually put every face, every piece, what color is on each face.
Right.
And all, and it tells you move by move how to solve it. And that's just silly. Like that's not rewarding at all.
So what's any different than what techs use Google for? I mean, it's, you know, everything's going to have an app at some point that's going to tell us how to do everything in life. There will be no need for schools.
Yeah, that's true. My kids don't learn anything like useful in school now. Everything we do, we just Google it.
Right.
It's fine.
I mean, homework is, hey, here's your homework, kids. Go study and send me a paper on this. What do? Google, cut, and paste.
Yep. Yeah. So then, what else has been going on? It's been kind of a rough month just because for the past 4 weeks straight, at least once a week, something that was supposed to be, or see, either something that wasn't supposed to happen at all, it was not scheduled, it was some kind of a failure, or something that was scheduled to be like an hour, one time on site visit, became like a 3-day ordeal. And so that kind of ruins the rest of your plans for the week. The first one was I have a, I guess a partner kind of thing. He leases Konica copiers, like the big machines for offices. And he buys them from Konica when they come off of their lease. And he's got these, you know, they're about 2 years old. They're still in good shape. And he leases them out himself. And then he doesn't know anything about the programming or the networking of it. So he usually hires me or has the customer, like refers me to a customer to hire me to do the networking side of it and some of the configuration. Well, that's actually a great thing. I've got a handful of customers, new customers from doing that. And, you know, it's a little bit of like free, no marketing required work that I get paid for. So that's good. This time though, he had picked up one that had some kind of weird firmware flashed on it. It wasn't stock Konica firmware anymore, but it looked like it. It just was acting weird. And it was all for, it was for security. So the people couldn't just walk up. It was probably maybe in a public place, or they wanted to regulate how that people, couldn't, you know, print off invitations for their kids' birthday parties or something in the office computer, whatever it was. So, but it couldn't come off. And then, I contacted someone that he referred me to. That's actually like a Konica, you know, level 3 engineer,
right?
Tech support guy. And he's going through it with me over the phone, and he's like, man, this, like the button that we're looking for that turns off the thing is not on the little screen. And I know how to log in with, like engineer level access to these printers, which is kind of neat. There's like a weird up, up, down, left, right, select, start, you know, kind of a code that you push in and you get into this, like,
I recognize that
tech mode.
I recognize that as gaming slang.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's along with Star Wars slang. Not your first language,
no.
I'm guessing.
No, it's not.
No. There literally is like a secret code that you punch in on the keypad and it locks, gets you in as like a tech.
Nice.
Tech mode, which is really dangerous. You can completely break the machine if you get in there and do anything stupid. But
or you can charge $300 a service call because you know the combination.
Yep, exactly. So it turns out he just took that machine back and wiped it and replaced it with another one while he was working on the one that was not working. But in the meantime, I had to keep going back and forth with the customer because all we were trying to do was set an IP address for the thing and give his IT guy the drivers and set up a couple, like a scanning folder.
Right.
So they could scan to a network drive. And simple stuff. It should literally have taken me 30 minutes at most. And that 30 minutes included having to shake hands and meet the guy and have him show me around the office and stuff, like in and out, 30 minutes. 3 days, and new printer came in. Because the guy wasn't there and I'd already had all the info and I was all just repeating the job, I went in. I was literally out of there in 5 to 6 minutes. That's how long the first job should have taken. But that was the end of the third visit. But got paid for it, so all good. What else happened? Oh, QuickBooks point of sale is the worst. Now, I know it's deprecated and it's discontinued.
Is it?
I hate
really?
It so much.
Is it discontinued?
Yeah, they bought a cloud-based iPad point-of-sale company called I don't remember what it's called. Social with an R. But it was real big. They were a good cloud-based point-of-sale system. If you're looking for one, I know they like you've even put them into like some bigger stadiums or something. But yeah, but the desktop Windows-based version of QuickBooks point-of-sale has been discontinued for a few years. They still have a support number you can call and you can pay for support if you have any questions, like why doesn't it work? Because it's a terrible program. We got new internet at a client's office or their store, and the internet installation was fine, but they had been relying on, this is a customer that I don't even really like to call them a customer of mine because they don't do anything that I say, and I've told them that I don't even really want to support them because I can't, because they have unsupported software and they don't want to pay for any networking equipment, and they won't put antivirus. They won't, like, they basically just won't do anything that I want them to do. So I've said you guys are on the bottom of my priority list because I have big clients that pay me a lot regularly to do all the things right, and you guys pay me very little, very infrequently to do everything wrong. So if I have time to help you, I will, but I'd really prefer that you find somebody else, and they just won't find somebody else. And I could just drop them, but for some reason I don't, because they're so nice. They're just like these nice little ladies in this shop.
who will turn and hit you with their pocketbook.
Yeah, right.
So obviously you've not raised your rate high enough to the point where they just finally say no.
No, I haven't. But that should be my next step. It's time for me to raise rates anyway. It's been a while.
Because that works, I can tell you. I have I had a client that was just about like that, where they didn't want to do what I say. They didn't want to, you know, come on any sort of monthly plan or anything like that. And so every time they called, I just kept raising the rate. And the funny thing is, in the beginning, they kind of are okay with it because they need it working.
Yes.
But then they get to a point where, you know what, I think we can figure this out ourselves or find somebody cheaper. And that's exactly what the purpose of raising your rates is supposed to do.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I've got another client that I did actually sit down with the owner and told her straight up, we're just not fitting anymore. This isn't working out for me. It's not working out for you. You guys, your demand is higher than my availability, which really, I don't enjoy the day-to-day interactions with them anymore. And it's just kind of, it's like when you have a job and it's just time to move on. It's a strange thing to drop a client just because you kind of don't like working for them anymore, but I just don't really like working for them anymore. And it's been a long time. And there are some business reasons that I don't work for them anymore also, but for the most part, I just don't want to anymore. So I quit, I dropped. I had a meeting. I said, we're not working together anymore, but I'll give you some time to find a new tech and I'll help him, you know, get into the network and get all that stuff going. And I met with the new tech, but then they never started with him. So now, somehow I'm still servicing them because I told them that I wouldn't drop them, but I'm now charging them. Like, they were on kind of a flat rate and it was kind of grandfathered I really wasn't getting paid enough to do to do the amount of stuff that they needed. And then I said, no, so now we're not working together anymore. I'm rounding to the nearest 15 minutes and I'm charging my full rate for everything that I do until you find a new tech. And so now it's actually not so bad because they're prepaying I'm using the prepaid minutes feature in Repair Shopper. So they're pre-buying hours. So I'm not having to wait for checks or anything like that. It's all prepaid and I'm charging full price for everything that I do. And now I kind of don't want them to leave because it's like, well,
you know, sometimes that works too. I mean, if the clients are willing to pay and they probably treat you a little differently with their request, right?
Now they do, because now they've been fired basically. And now they're kind of coming back with a little different position.
And they're probably not as petty either with their request because they know that each request costs them money.
Yeah.
At a higher rate than what you were charging before.
Well, before we were trying, things were coming at me from all sides, and so I just put them on a flat rate. And it kind of worked out the first time, so we did it again. But then, for some reason, it was just, you know, too many things, not enough money. And I'm sitting there going, man, this doesn't feel like enough money to justify the amount of stuff that I'm getting called in to do. And so, you know, that was part of but now, and yeah, exactly. Once they got used to the idea that they weren't having to cut a check just every time they pick up the phone, the phone got picked up a lot more often.
Right.
That's what happened the second and then the third year that we did the flat rate during, this is a tax company, so it's during like tax season that they get really busy. But yeah, so now that it's like on the, anyway, I they're going to move on and it'll be fine. I'll be happy with that. But yeah, raise the rates and change the plan and it's just all kind of works better.
Yeah.
But
much nicer clients when you raise the rates. Yeah. So I have I'm going to leave with my best story.
Okay.
Which is not going to be a great story for everybody else, but it's great for me. And since tonight it's basically my show, I'm going to tell my story. And so Monday, I'm at a client and we are rushing to get some workstations set up because I have a client that likes to do things the wrong way or their way. And for the last couple of weeks, let me go back. For the last couple of years, they have been talking about bringing on this attorney who was actually an attorney that worked for them many years ago, left, and has been trying to come back. And so each year something would happen. He'd be like, oh, I'm coming. And he would say, I'm bringing two people with me. And we would scramble to get computers set up. The morning, they don't show. And then we go a few months later, okay, I'm coming. So we got to get computers all set up. The morning, we're waiting, no show. So I'm at the point where, like, you know, the last two times he's done this, I'm not doing a thing. Until you show up, I'm not doing a thing. Well, this time it came around and everything seemed a little different because the managing partner at this firm was like, okay, I'm going to tell you this, but this is hush hush. Don't tell anybody. He goes, but we're going to do it, and this time it's going to happen, and he's bringing three people. We're going to start this person on this date, and we were kind of like, yeah, whatever. So we got the computers kind of prepped, not really. We just kind of like bought the computers and had them sitting by. And all last week, they were saying, we're starting, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. So Friday, we finally get notice. One person is starting on Monday. So I'm like, okay, I will get one computer ready. And I did. And they showed up. And we were like, oh my God. So we scrambled to get the one.
Watch out for flying pigs.
So then we find out that three more people are coming. And so we're like, okay, so we'll scramble and get three computers up. So we get the three computers ready. So Monday afternoon, I'm on site and we're setting up everything. But the story really gets interesting because I'm starting to set up phones. And this customer has voice over IP phones through their internet service provider, who I will nickname Windstream. And so we're setting up the phones, and the phones aren't registering. Basically, they weren't doing anything. They're PoE phones. Plug it in. Phone lights up. It'll say starting network, and then just sit there. I'm going to skip over a lot of garbage stuff. But basically, this customer's office has had issues with these phones like every other month for the last year. So I call Windstream to tell them that this is an issue. Before I call them, I've already tried three or four different phones. I've tried old phones. I've tried new phones. The old phones, if they were already configured, would work just fine. Come up, get an IP address. Any new phone wouldn't work. So I call them and they're like, well, have you tried a new phone? I'm like, yes, I have. So in the meantime, so I, you know, we're talking with the tech, we're going through everything, and I decide to pull out Old Yeller. And you know what Old Yeller is, right?
Yeah, it's got to be your Fluke.
Yes. So I plug my Fluke in, and I put it on the VLAN that the phones are on, and don't get an IP address. And I can tell the guy, well, here's what's happening. Your DHCP server isn't working. Oh, that can't be it. I'm like, okay. So I put in a static IP address, configure it for that network, plug my Fluke back in. I can see everything on their side of the network. And this customer has an MPLS, so the phones are definitely segmented from the rest of the network. So I can tell him, well, here's this extension, and here's the MAC address, and here's the user assigned to it, because in the Fluke, with the proper SNMPs, I can see everything.
Right.
It tells me everything about all the phones. I can see their phone server. I can I'm saying this is your network. I can see it. And by the way, you've got this. What is this device at this address? He's like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, well, let me trace it through the switch, and I can, So I'm telling him all this stuff, and he's like, what is that that you're? You? I'm like, it's my network tester. I don't even want to tell him it's a fluke.
No.
So bottom line is, what?
The first thing when you said you're plugged in multiple phones and that are new into the network, and they just sat there at the network boot up stage, like, it's got to be something with DHCP, or likely.
Well, that's, I thought that, and he didn't. So I basically put the fluke in to say, yes, it is. And I mean, the dude wanted to argue with me for like 15 minutes. And finally he gets to the point where, yeah, something's right. Yeah, something's not working. It's, DHCP is on, but it's not. And I'm like, what do you need to do? Do you need me to go reset the switch or something? And he goes, well, I can do that. And so he does it, plug in a new phone, boom. Pops right up, configures beautifully. And all I kept thinking to myself, if you didn't have the fluke to tell these people, because it's something where if it's just me as a tech or you as a tech talking to them, they don't want to hear what you have to say. But I can tell them, look, I've got my tester. I've got it properly configured on the VLAN. I've got it set up this way. And the fact is, once I connected it, he could see it was on the network. He's like, what is that you have plugged into Gig 1? I said, that's my tester. So it's not like I'm lying when they can see a device on there. But then if I have it set to DHCP, what he would see is every request from the flute trying to grab an IP and get every, and he's like, well, why is it just hitting? I'm like, just trust me. I'm not some pizza tech that, you can yell at.
Yeah. No, and in those support calls, usually it takes a little time, but at some point it clicks with them that you do know something about what you're talking about, and then you can hear the conversation turn.
Yes.
Yeah, and then you're like, okay, now we're on the same page. Before, I was some anonymous, who knows who, because they get calls from everybody. Yep. It could be, I may not even know how to put paper in the copier for all they know, and I don't know who they are. They might just be a script reading robot, so we both have to kind of like feel it out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then, absolutely. I start telling you my problem, why don't you tell me about the last problem you solved?
Right. I'm going to interview you for a second.
Yep. So it saved me so much hassle, because I do know that there have been times where honestly all they would have said was, well, something must be wrong. Box up the phone, send it back. We'll send you, whole RMA process. Meanwhile, you have no phone. And I'm like, look, trust me, the old phones are working. My tester works. Something's wrong in the network. Fix it. All right. Your turn.
All right. So this is an interesting story that sort of is like a good segue off of what you just had. New phones, new out of the box, not working. Old phones working. Maybe it can't be three brand new phones, right? Like, there's no way that three brand new phones, the hardware's bad. But last week, well, it was maybe 2 weeks ago, I don't know, week and a half, Friday morning, internet goes down at one of my, and I only have one attorney's office, but it was this their new building. They've been on doing great, no problems for 3-4 months. Now all of a sudden the internet's down. I get the call and I look at it. So ISP's running tests. They can't really tell what. So they roll a truck. They were gonna wait till Monday. I said, no, you guys, this went down at 6 a.m. You need to roll a truck same day. Like, if we're calling you at 4 p.m., I can understand having to wait till Monday, but no, get somebody out there. So they get somebody out there. They replace the router. Internet back up. No problem. Internet goes down again over the weekend. Come out on Monday. No, they came out on, so they were supposed to come out Monday, but they missed the appointment. They scheduled it from 12 to 5, and they didn't show up, which made the attorney real happy, because they have VoIP phones too. So their whole, internet is their life. And yet I've never been able to convince them until now to pay more than a certain amount for internet, but we'll get to that. But so all day Monday, they're down. Tuesday, tech comes in the morning, replaces the modem, internet back up again. 2 hours after he leaves, internet down, comes out, replaces the modem for a third time. All three modems, because I did some troubleshooting on them too, and I thought that the hardware went bad on them. And they agreed, and a new device fixed it every time. And now the third, you know, whatever, I guess this would technically be the fourth one they've had in 2 weeks. Now it's been stable for, you know, a week and a half since this whole thing went down. But literally out of the box, new, peel the little protective plastic sheeting off of these things, brand new devices, three in a row, and were faulty. And it was a new modem that fixed it every time. They also had very similar serial numbers as we looked at them again afterwards. So that was fun.
A new modem. That was interesting. So the modem was provided by the service provider.
Yeah, it's a their only option for internet there is to either get AT&T, just, you know, DSL or UVerse or whatever, or we're going with a bonded DSL circuit from Megapath.
Okay.
And we're literally across the street from the AT&T building where the hub is. So we have the shortest distance physically possible, which is great. So we have really good solid signal. It's really clean. But that's it. There's no coax available. We could pull fiber. They could get on a dedicated Ethernet over copper if they wanted to. And that would be a lot. It would be double the price, but it also would come with a better service level agreement, which, because right now, basically, it's a best effort SLA, and it's cheap. It's like $150, and they could be paying $400 to $500, and they would have a, you know, an SLA with 99.9% uptime, 4-hour response time, and all that kind of stuff. So that's probably what they're going to do. And Spectrum is like one address too far to do the build out. Like, they'll get there eventually, but for right now, if we want to order it, the distance is, you know, they do their ROI calculation and decide if they're going to do a build or not. And we're literally like probably like one physical address too far away from the nearest pole.
Well, that may change. Spectrum is growing.
Yes.
Because they just purchased Bright House here in Florida, which was doing a big so. But heard some good and bad about Spectrum, so we shall see how they go. So, good old internet service providers. I'm going to have a Comcastic installation on Friday. I'm not looking forward to. I don't know.
Well, how big of a window have they narrowed them down, or is it like an all-day thing still?
Well, it's a two-hour window.
Oh.
That they schedule. But they've gotten to the point now where they actually send out a email saying that's just an estimate. And let me pull up this email real quick here, because it was quite interesting the way that they stated what they did. So yeah, here's what they've done. They actually gave a arrival window is what it is. So so they will arrive between 9 and 11, and they want you to confirm that the arrival window is there. Then they put at the very end of the email, after this whole, they actually have a pre-install checklist now. And they have a responsibilities section now. You are responsible for integrating and troubleshooting your network. Comcast will only support the Comcast-owned devices. You are responsible for integrating and troubleshooting your managed phone system. But they have this big disclaimer now saying, please note, scheduled appointment length is approximate. Completion installation will take from 1.5 to 4 hours, but can vary significantly based on service complexity. Additional advanced voice services such as Business Edge, blah, 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 are not included in this overview. So I know that the last time I had a Comcast appointment, the gentleman showed up right at the very outer edge of the window, which was okay with me if the installation had gone pretty smooth, because all I need for them to do is just get the internet up, and I'll take it from there.
Right.
But it can never be that simple.
No. And they're usually like right at the front end of the window, or they're barely making it to be inside the window at all.
Right.
That's what I found. So today I was meeting supposed to be meeting a Spectrum installer at a restaurant, and the installer was 30 minutes early, and the manager on duty was a new hire who wasn't scheduled to work that day, but she was working that day because of whatever their scheduling worked out. So she was unaware of this appointment. The GM is actually an interim GM. He's a really cool guy, but he's really just their bar manager, and he's filling in for the GM while they find a new general manager. And so he's kind of over his head a little bit, and a lot's been going on. So he was aware that Spectrum was coming out today. We made the appointment with him to make sure it was fine. He wasn't going to be there, and I was going to come and just kind of supervise and make sure it all worked. Anyway, so I get there at the beginning of the window. Wasn't told by anyone that the Spectrum had already showed up, and nobody was aware that they were supposed to come on premise to work on anything, and they were turned away. So I sat there for about an hour.
Yeah.
You know, I got work to do. I got on the Wi-Fi, got my laptop out, I'm just doing some stuff. And then I go over and talk to the manager just to kind of pass the time. And she's like, oh, yeah, so I don't know why I didn't think to tell you before. I told you why I was here.
And that's 1 hour of billable time.
Yep. Oh, yeah, no, on the clock for sure. But anyway, they're coming back in a week, so.
A week. A week. Oh, wow. They don't have anything tied to that service. Like, because, you know, some customers will disconnect service.
I will not be a part of that.
Okay.
I just won't let them do that. Like, if you want to do that, that's fine, but you're on your own. I'm walking away. Because you can't, like, things happen. They'll come out, and they've already surveyed, supposedly, and they know that service is available at that address, but they'll come out, and the person whose job it is to literally just to, like, run maybe 10 feet of coax and throw on a modem will be the one to discover that, in fact, the tap isn't there or whatever, and right. Then now they need to do a build out. And so you can never rely, you never can trust that scheduled appointment day where things are supposed to get tuned up is going to actually be the day that things are turned on. So no, their previous internet is still on. We haven't even notified them that there's going to be a change.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
And so the best, I didn't read another part of this email where Comcast now is trying to tell people that it's quite possible. Well, where is it? Yeah, here's what they say. Please make sure your network administrator or technical contractor is available at your location or via telephone during the last hour of your installation. So, of course, my customer sends me an email going, oh, you mean it's possible that you can do this remotely or over the phone? And I said, hell to the no.
No.
There is no way I'm letting a Comcast technician, and I'm sorry if there are Comcast technicians listening, but I'm never trusting a Comcast technician to come into my network. Because if I've got, you know, a network address with a router, static IPs, I mean, I can't have them come in and just throw everything on a 10.1.10 network and not even consider what else is there.
No, how could they? They can't know everything that you've got going on the network, and so they shouldn't even try.
Right, but some do.
This wasn't the fault of the AT&T tech, but I do have one location on AT&T still, and they called me because they had some remote stuff and a VPN between two offices that wasn't working anymore. I'm like, okay, so I check it out and I look at the router, and it's got instead of getting the public IP on its WAN, it's got a 192.168. address. And I'm like, somebody reset the router, because it was in pass-through mode. The AT&T equipment was in pass-through mode. And so my router should be getting a public IP from that, and it's not. And they're the absolute furthest customer that I have physically from my house, like the worst drive. It's the only customer I have where I have to drive up to LA, which is not fun for me. So I go up there. And I asked them, like, has anyone gone in? Did you, I know you've had a couple internet down. You know, you've called AT&T because the internet was down. Anything? You guys, did anyone tell you to use a paperclip? Because we've had this conversation. Paperclips are the devil. Don't ever paperclip anything without telling me first.
Only MacGyver can use a paperclip.
Yeah. No, yeah. Just, no, you. I will drive up there and use the paperclip. You don't, because you're going to break stuff and you don't even know what you broke. And then I won't know what you broke. And it'll take me longer to figure it out. Anyway. Turns out when I get there, there's a brand new modem or, you know, a U-verse router sitting in the rack. New cabling to it and stuff.
Oh, didn't have any thought to mention that.
No, none of them were aware. I was like, wait. So a technician came into your office.
Nobody in the firm was aware. Somebody,
no, they didn't know.
Somebody ninja'd in and swapped a modem.
Yeah. He had to go in. It's an actual rack with a lock. It's got a locking door on it. And somehow he gets in there, replaces the modem, and no one had any idea. Like, maybe that's why things weren't working. And it's acting like a factory fresh device, because it is a factory fresh device. By the way, new U-verse routers, I couldn't figure out how to do it. So maybe I think they pulled it out. There is no pass-through mode. There used to be.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah. I was very surprised by this because I'm like, oh, I know how to do this. I've done this 1,000 times. It's not there.
They've been saying it for about a year, and I guess I should say, luckily enough, I'm not using any of those as my service provider for any of my customers. So I don't know. I think Comcast is also going to be in that situation soon. Maybe Comcast Residential, Comcast Business are still providing proper routers that you can, you know, do bridge mode and pass through and all of that stuff. But yeah, that's. I know you mentioned AT&T a lot. I will not use AT&T. I will not use UVerse.
You know what's funny about me mentioning them a lot? I have this. It's the same business, but the two locations
right.
that has AT&T. I only have two locations on AT&T, and it's only because there is no other option at that location at all.
Right.
All of my AT&T stories come from one office out of all of my customers. So that tells you why. I mean, and so yeah, everyone. That if I meet someone on AT&T, I'm like, the first thing we gotta do is do an internet survey first. Like, we can't do this.
Yeah.
So
you mentioned driving up the coast, and just for the sake of the audience, yes, Brad did say that he hated driving up the coast to LA, and I'm sure that the rest of the country is thinking, that's nice. I'd like to do that.
Well. Because it's not driving up the coast. I am coastal. I have...
Oh, you're driving away from the coast.
Yes. As far as the crow flies, I'm less than 2 miles away from the ocean right now. And it is... it's beautiful here. Anytime I have to leave here, that's why I get unhappy. And the part of LA that these people are in, it's not palm trees. And it's... The city of Huntington Park... has one of the highest violent crime and murder rates of any other city in the country. It is a horrible city. It's routinely in the summertime, you know, 100 degrees or hotter and humid and sweltering. And then, it's a horrible place to be. And there's no coastal drive. You're driving up in horrible traffic and there's nothing that resembles the coast. So no.
Okay. So just by comparison, I am 4.6 miles from the beach in the opposite direction. So, and it's beautiful here, by the way. Outside of those kids that showed up for spring break, it is a fantastic place to be. So, but we digress. So what I was going to move on to is there were a couple of emails that came in because apparently we at the show here do a terrible job of advertising and providing links. Even though we have a show note, I don't think people go to the show note because they either believe it doesn't exist or we really don't use it. But because you mentioned having to drive to a customer far, far away, you know, I have really been touting the wonders of the Watt Box.
Yes.
And so I had a couple of emails come in, one from Jesse and the other for Dave. Who, it's funny because Jesse writes, you have mentioned the Watt Box a lot lately. Just wondering which model that you have been using and where you usually buy it from. Keep up the great work on the show. So that was one email. The second email was, loving the shows. A few shows back, you talked about remote power management. And I think you said it was called a Watt Box, spelled W-H-A-T.
Right.
And then he puts in parentheses, Watt Box, W-A-T, Watt Box, W-O-T, or Watt Box, W-A-T-T. I can't seem to find their website or anything about them. Am I spelling it wrong, or did I get the name wrong? Thanks for the shows, M&M, and sometimes the other M. So I figured I should probably have spelled it out a little bit better, but the last one is correct. Watt Box, W-A-T-T-B-O-X. And I know we've put this link in the show note, but the company that I get them from is IO8, and their website is onio8.com. And I don't want to spell that whole thing out, but it's basically on Isle, O-N-A-I-S-L-E, 8.com. And I don't think you have to be a reseller in particular, but you do have to sign in as a partner to buy their stuff. And WattBots, just to go back and let everybody know what it is, the ones that I use actually have a feature called Auto Reboot. And the reason I like that is because instead of having to drive out to a place if you don't have an HP server with ILO, you can actually plug any other device in, a switch, a router, any other type of device. And through the power of the internet, you can log into a web portal and simply hit the plug that you want to reboot, and it will power cycle the device for you.
Yeah, I got a couple of them.
Okay. The other feature on there that I'm sure you, I don't know, do you use the feature where you can have it auto sense?
Yes.
And which is the whole point of the auto reboot, because you can manually reboot by logging in, clicking restart, and doing it yourself, or you can set up the feature so that the particular plug or all of the plugs will sense, because this is an IP-enabled device. You plug in a network cable, set it up on the network, and you can have it ping a network gateway or ping an IP address or something so that it will constantly be looking for connection. And you can set a time frame delay of if it doesn't detect connection for 5 seconds or a minute or whatever that is, the box will automatically reboot the device on its own. And obviously, we'll send you an alert so that you know something's up, especially if the device that you're resetting is like an internet or a server or something important, that if the customer says, hey, we just had an automatic reboot for such and such. So it is WattBox, and I did respond with, I used two of the models. I used the 5-port and the 12-port. You said you have a couple of them. Which ones do you use?
I usually go with the 3-port because it just... For a small office, they've got, you know, you if they've got a, usually they have a separate modem of some kind, and then their network router, and then maybe a switch. One of the ones where it's kind of my favorite. It doesn't happen a lot, but every once in a while we have to reboot the all of their IP phones, or all their VoIP phones, and usually it's after some kind of big network change. But that way, so I've got their PoE switch on the WattBox, and I can just hit reboot on the switch remotely. It reboots all the phones by automatically, and it's nice to have. And also, they interface with that with a web portal, the OVRC.
OVRC.
And so then if you've got a couple of them out in the field, you can just log into that portal and you kind of see the uptime, and you can communicate with them, and you can actually go into the settings, and you can hit some of the commands from the web portal, which is nice too.
Yep.
And I do also get them from IL8. And signing up as a reseller is literally just... A matter of filling out a form.
I don't even think there was an approval process.
No, it's just, I think they asked me for my resale number, but it's not a big deal. You should do it because you get a little discount.
Yeah. Yeah. The reason I like getting the 5, I mean, the cost really isn't that much. So I get the 5. I actually get the kit where I get the rack mount as well, so I can actually mount it in the rack. And I like doing it with the 5-port as the minimum, because like you said, you've got your router, your switch, and your server if you're just doing those three, which gives you 2 available ports to do something else. So whether you do your internet service provider's device, which is what I did just last week at a client where they were having trouble with their stuff, and it was a pain in the butt to try to get them to do it. So I just put their server, they have a phone server, and then they've got a PoE switch. So I just stuck them into our WattBox so I can reboot their stuff whenever I want to. And that way the customer... And this customer was having so many... They would have power outages, you know, where it was just a ridiculous amount of time. And if whenever the stuff came back up, and we're talking power outages of like an hour.
Oh.
So the battery backups, you know, wouldn't last the whole time. So, but when they came back up, for some reason their PoE switch wouldn't reset properly. So... After a couple of times of that, I said, you know what? I'm putting in a WattBox.
Yeah. And no, and you're right. There's only like a $30 difference between the 3 and the 5.
Yes.
And yes, it has rack mount capability, which is cool.
Yep. Yeah. And then I do the 12 for my bigger customers. That way I can put all their servers, because I've got customers with multiple servers, multiple switches. And I just stick a 12-port in the rack and whatever goes in the rack goes in the Watt box.
That seems, the only thing I question about that is we usually plug the Watt box into a UPS.
Mm-hmm.
And you powering 12 things off of that, unless they're all kind of low voltage things.
You got to get a big Watt, big UPS.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I usually get, I get the 2200s a lot,
mm-hmm.
and that'll take care of that. Because most of the time, cool. your switches and your routers, those aren't much. It's really if you've got a rack full of servers that you right. have to worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, switching a router doesn't. Well, PoE switch, like a 24-port PoE switch can draw some.
That is true. That is true. All right. Yeah. So, all right. So that's those are the things. I just wanted to get that out there. That was actually our stack of emails.
Page two.
So, all right. So, let's see here. Oh, we're moving right along here. Oh, the other thing I wanted to say about aisle 8 is I know that on the live show on Sunday, they've been talking about the switches that you can get from aisle 8. Have you used any of those?
What brand are they? I have not.
Arachnus?
No, but I've heard. Yeah, I think it's probably just from listening to Podnuts. I've heard that Arachnus okay. is great.
So. I've actually been using them for a while. I used to be, you know, a Netgear guy, and then I went to the HP/Aruba stuff. Mm-hmm. But I got Arachnus, and I think Jeff may have mentioned that at the CompTIA show in Chicago, they were there, and we all got free devices from them. And I got one of the 8-port managed switches from them, and I've liked it. It is performed very well. They are very fast, and I can use Old Yeller with them. And that's what that's what I use to test all my managed switches. Because there's a lot of managed switches that really aren't true L2 managed switches.
Yeah, a lot of them, they call them smart or whatever the marketing word they use.
Right,
it makes them better than just a switch.
WebView, smart switches, and they'll say L2 smart in them or L2 web, but I need to have true layer 2 switches. And these are, so there's a nice range of them. I think it's the 300 series. The 200 series is their WebSmart series, which is probably going to be fine for most techs. But for my law firms and some of the stuff that I like to do with Old Yeller, I like the 300 L2 managed series. And then they also have the full PoE switches as well. And they're very reasonably priced. And when I say reasonably, they're probably the lowest costing managed switches that I've seen.
Yeah, they're expensive for a switch, but they're not expensive for what they do, for what they are.
True. So I just wanted to mention that as well, that you can get the Arachnus line of products through aisle 8 as well, and very capable devices. I don't use any of the other stuff on there, so don't ask me about their Wi-Fi routers, access points. They get a bunch of other stuff.
Wow. Actually, if you move up, like if you get a 24-port 310 series layer 2, the pricing on that's not bad at all.
It's not.
Yeah.
No. I just sold 3 of the 48-port L2 switches, the 310s, 48 ports. I mean, I don't want to give out prices on the air, but they were, I mean, put it this way, I usually am charging my customers well over $1,000 for a 48-port L2 switch, and basically 2 of these for about that price. And like I said, they actually, I don't know if it's just because they were new switches, because the ones I took out were like 7 years old, but I mean, they made the network feel faster. And maybe it's just the shiny new switch, but it felt faster. And people commented after I left, go, oh man, what did you do? I said, I souped it up.
Yep. That's always good. That makes you feel really, it makes you them realize that what you did was worth the time and the money that they put into it. Because sometimes you're doing things that are preventative and nobody sees it. But when you actually walk out of the office and everybody's like, wow, what did you do? Everything's so much better. It's my favorite.
Yep. That is kind of like a malware cleanup. Or an installation of an SSD drive.
Yeah.
I think I've drank the Kool-Aid on the SSD drives.
Well, you know, I hang out with my friend Anthony, who's now been on Podnuts. He's the custom PC builder.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the more time that I spend with him, now I drank the SSD Kool-Aid, and then now I'm on the M.2 Kool-Aid. Like, give me the NVMe. The last build we did, it has a terabyte NVMe Samsung Pro M.2 drive in it. And it's a thing of beauty. I love it.
And what were the other specs on that? Because you guys, those things are super rigged out to begin with.
Oh yeah. I don't remember the model number, but it's an Asus motherboard, workstation motherboard. And then it's got a four core i7 that I think is clocked at 4.2 or 4.5 base clock. It's not overclocked.
Okay.
Anthony decided to go back to air cooler on that one. And then it's got a NVIDIA Titan X graphics card, which is pretty intense. It's like Titan X is like the next level up, but it's fairly similar to like a 1080, which I don't, these are all things that I hear. I pick these words up from Anthony, but I don't really understand what they mean.
All right.
And then I think it has 32 gigs of DDR4 memory. And then a dual gigabit Ethernet ports on the motherboard and all that stuff. I mean, and then he got color matching or color correcting monitors. So the monitors themselves are like $700 or $800 each. They're both 27 inch.
So, all right. Well, that sounds pretty jazzy. I'm just dealing with a nice little Core i5, 16 gigs of RAM, and a SSD drive, and makes them feel like they got a brand new computer.
Yeah. I've got, let's see, somebody, it was the owner, and she just wanted a personal laptop. She didn't want to spend anything really, and I was like, well, you gotta spend something. But Acer has kind of a budget line of laptops that are coming with SSDs and at least 8 to 16 gigs of RAM. They're affordable. I was like, this, you're not really using this for business. I know literally she's used it once in the last like 6 months, so I don't even know why she bought it. But it was a good buy. The thing's quick.
Yeah.
You can't open it up anymore. I almost broke it trying to look at one of them, not that particular one, but a different one that's got the same chassis. And we've moved on to the point where these mitts cannot handle the small little components of a laptop anymore. I can't open these things. So,
I gave that up a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, I never wanted to do any like real repairs in a laptop. I never did any resoldering or any of that stuff. But it used to be pretty easy to get in, and with some of the more business like Lenovo's, like I have a Lenovo laptop. It's very easy to get to the RAM. Like there's one big plastic door you just kind of lift off, and there's RAM. And then you open this door over here, and there's hard drive. And then to get the back case off is really easy. You can do a lot of stuff. It's not a big deal. But this thing, you had to remove the keyboard and do all kinds of stuff just to get to the hard drive or the memory. So.
Yeah, it's too much work. Right,
nope, I'm done. I'm going to take that into some other person who likes to do that sort of thing and wants to be, I don't know. It's like surgeon hands. I have like welder's hands. I don't have surgeon hands.
Mechanic hands, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can work on a car. We don't need to get any smaller than that.
Right.
And even modern cars are getting kind of like, there's all these things that I don't want to, I mean, I used to just like, if I can get a socket wrench on it, I'm good.
I don't even own a socket wrench anymore. I own a screwdriver, a small screwdriver, and a pair of pliers. That's my toolkit right now.
Yeah. I have sockets because they come in handy now for turning the lag screws for mounting like monitors and TVs.
I don't do that either.
Oh, I do that.
You do a lot of stuff that most of us don't do.
Probably. That's probably not a good thing, actually. I need to.
Could be. So, I have all the tools that nobody likes to listen to, like my big yellow thingy. Next week, I am going to go for a personal best. I am going to try to upgrade 6 computers in 1 hour from old SATA hard drives to SATA. I mean to SSD drives. So I'm making 2 portable hard drive repair toolkits that I'm going to take up and try to get all of those copied over, because I've gotten the process on most of my drive copies. They're less than 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to, just me, I'm not taking a tech with me. I'm going to take 2 duplicators, and I'm actually going to take I'm going to map out everything I can do to where I can basically go from computer to computer, shut it down, tear the case apart, have the new drive ready to go, pull the old drive, and as I'm doing that, and I've got 2 duplicators going at a time to see if I can get all 6 done in less than an hour. I'm going to tell them to go to lunch and see if I can finish before they get back.
Set up a tripod and stream that. That'd be great.
That's right. You know, we should have done that and get my curtains with the portable hard drive repair kit and the dry ice smoke coming out the back.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting. So, all right, I think we've done pretty good here. Do you have any story inside of you still just bursting to come out? It's been a month now.
Nope. I think I'm all storied out. I think the cold's getting to me. and actually, my brother's been living in Australia for the past 3 months because he's a baseball player and coach. So he does this in the winter time. He lives in Australia during the winter, and he's back tonight. So we're going to go over and have dinner.
Is that why you took offense at my Australia question from earlier?
No, that was a weird coincidence. I got to figure out what that is.
It used to point
to where I actually am, and now the map on my website is defaulting to some weird part of Australia.
Yeah, when I was communicating with him earlier, I was on his website just poking around, and when you go to the Contact Us page, you go, and it's basically a map of Australia. And I'm like, that looks nothing like California.
No, it does not. And I do know that Google changed their API for their maps integrations a little while ago. So I'm sure, and I just never bothered to look at. I don't go to my own website very often.
I used to never go to my website until Podnuts.
Wow!
Then they all made fun of it.
Yeah.
Are you looking at your site now?
I'm next to Kangaroo Valley. That is a place.
Oh, let me find out. What was it that caught my attention? It was one word in particular. It was, where is it?
This is great radio.
Yeah, I know. It's like, follow along with us if you can. Go to ttcscomputerservices.com. Okay, here it is. So, Wollongong.
Yes, Wollongong.
I was like, what the heck is that? Billabong Wallawong.
I'm going to have to ask my brother if he was anywhere near where apparently my business now is located.
So, and there's also Burrawang.
Yeah, there's some great.
And Fitzroy Falls.
Bodala. How do you even say that? Yarongobilly? Yarongobilly?
So go to his website, folks, and help us out with some of these words. They were great.
Yeah, I might wait a few days to fix it now so that people can just appreciate how bizarre this is.
Yeah. You can go down to Mount Fairy. There's Wallaroo and Wee Jasper. So, all right. So you need to open up a shop over there. Your brother can run it, right?
Baseball players and computer techs are very different people.
Probably so. All right. So, with that, let's end off the show, and let me find my good friend here, Mr. Franklin. And the word from Mr. Franklin tonight: in wine there is wisdom, in beer there is freedom, and in water there is bacteria. I want to say thank you for those of you that are listening to the show, and if you made it this far, you might have noticed some little odd ins and outs and some terrible edits. And yes, that is because we had to do some stuff with music, because I tried to add in some great Star Wars music, but it just didn't work out. So I've got a new ending here, so you don't hear Brad say goodnight. But on behalf of Brad and behalf of all of Podnuts and the Door-to-Door Geek, I want to say thank you all for listening, subscribing, and download to the show. And until next time, holla.
My name is Jeff Hallish. I'm the host of Podnuts Daily, where we interview real people who are working in the computer repair field. I would like to invite you to check out the shows to learn what other computer repair techs are doing. If you would like to be a guest on the show, then contact me at guest@podnuts.com. Podnuts Daily, where it's fun to talk tech.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.